Save big at Banana Republic Factory with 60% off the entire store. Our biggest sale of the year. Plus, take an extra 50% off clearance. Stock up on dresses, shirts, and shorts under $15. Find your nearest store or shop online only at Banana Republic Factory.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Stylefile, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. I'm Adeline Chung, and this week it's all about bridal dresses and lace with Poon Mei Chi of MC Couture.
So many brides that came to us, when I actually communicate with them during consultation, they actually do want something beyond, you know, beyond their wedding day.
After that, Florence Song of El Malaysia gives us a tip or two on the trend for this fall season, the white boots.
So, I mean, unlike the little black boot, which is so easy to match and blend into your outfit, the little white boot is a statement maker. You wear it as the star of your outfit.
But first up is our style maker for this week, Poon Mei Chi of MC Couture. Middle Ages, brides were expected to dress in a way that both cast their families in a good light and befitted their social status. However, over time, both the dresses and the brides themselves have evolved to become bolder and more personal. Today, most brides treat their dress like an inanimate guest on their guest list. It is important that its presence at their wedding makes sense. That's where Poon Mei Chi comes in. Though her label MC Couture, she spares no effort in helping brides make sense of their wedding dress dreams. Although she's been designing clothes for almost 8 years now, her endeavors in the field are fairly new, having only recently made the transition from designing evening wear to full-on bridal gowns. Nevertheless, she knows her stuff. Meiji's passion and enthusiasm for designing has helped her come up with the innovative and clean-cut bridal designs that have come to be very sought after, especially her famous Infinity wedding gown. In the studio today, I'm joined by the petite but mighty Meiji herself as she peels back the curtain on what she's been up to since launching her bridal collections, as well as an insight on the bridal scene in Malaysia. A lot has happened, you know, since you last came on in 2014, most notably the launch of your bridal designs. Now, how has the response been so far from your customers?
I would say it's building up. I guess some things, you know, you really need to build, you know, from we transition from ready to wear and, you know, from a brand that is just doing more like, you know, special occasion dresses, bridesmaids. And as you move on to bridal, people do want to see your work, you know, before they actually, you know, commit to getting, you know, one made from you.
Mm-hmm. What was the transition like?
I would say for me, it's I wouldn't say smooth, but it's always like you know, progressive for me. So for us, we always wanted to take up more challenge, you know, to do something extra, so something different. So we tried that from simpler silhouettes, you know, and more and more, and you know, and that, I guess, that builds confidence in you know, people seeing our work as well.
I mean, you've been designing mostly dinner dresses and cheongsams, I remember. What inspired you to design bridal wear?
For me, I think it's like a journey, as I guess we moved on from simpler, you know, simpler garments, simpler construction to something more complicated. And I would say bridal wear has the, you know, the most complex, you know, if you want it to be, I guess. Yeah. So I guess it's a progress for me, like, you know, from being something simpler, and then we just want to do more, you know, something more complicated. We try different material, you know, different embellishment, and that we realize that it's steering us towards more bridal wear. Yeah.
So what has been the biggest challenge?
I guess it's the brand image. I think that is the trickiest part, where, you know, like to get people to think that, like, hey, what were you? And then what are you doing? And what are you going to do in the future? I guess that sometimes get confused, and it really took us some time to actually get us on track, you know, in terms of brand image and, you know, branding and awareness. When they hear us, they don't think about bridal wear. That's the thing. So we have been around for quite a few years, but they just don't think of us as a bridal wear because we haven't had too many, you know, bridal collection. But we have been making bridal dresses, you know, since like 3 to 4 years ago. It's just that we don't market it. We don't take, you know, lookbooks on it. So people just don't realize.
So like I told you off air, I told you that when I look at you and I look at your website, the first thing that comes to mind is bridal wear. Now, I'm sure a lot of people would have encountered the same thing in terms of transitioning, you know, from one to another. Now, what kind of branding and marketing have you done that people can learn?
Basically, I think Malaysians especially, I think everyone else in the world works relies very heavily on visuals. So that's why we actually, you know, do more lookbooks, you know, and do more collaborations so that we have more, you know, visuals in terms of how we can showcase our products in terms of bridal wear. And also from our social media, we try to show what we call behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So the making and the work in progresses in the, you know, in the garments. And for me personally, if I'm going to get like, you know, like artisan work, I would love to see what goes behind it. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping to showcase that, you know, to people because, you know, we are making them all in our studio in USJ.
So since the last time you've came on, are you still the only one designing and sewing?
No, actually, I've expanded to a small production house.
It's very humble of you.
So a small production house where there's 4 or 5 of us. So I would say that it's quite a full-fledged, you know, small portfolio for every one of us where I still do the design mostly and then and the creative bit of it. And then we have cutter and then seamstress, you know, 2 seamstresses. And they're all very good, you know, they're all expert in their own fields, having many years, you know, under their belt. So that's really good to start off with.
You mentioned in your last interview with us that you were keen to take up a course in fashion in Bangkok, right? I know that you traveled to Bangkok recently. Now, how did that go?
Well, yes, after we spoke, I did, you know, take up a short course. It was only for 2 weeks in Bangkok.
Just 2 weeks?
Yes, correct. It was like a really intensive draping
course. Crash course,
I would say. Yes, that's right. So it was a one-to-one, but it was very interesting for me because I've only, like, I personally have not gotten any, like, formal education in terms of fashion and, you know, like, dressmaking.
Yep.
So I've always, I'm self-taught. So a lot of my resources came from books, internets, you know. So I guess at that point of time, I felt like I needed, you know, something rather formal to just steer me and to know that I am doing things right. So that's why I did it, you know. It was a short course. I guess it's really very tricky to get everything in, you know, within the 14 days. But for me, it was more like a recognition, you know, of like whatever I've been doing. And, you know, I guess it's also a confidence booster to know that like, okay, this is right. Whatever I've been doing has been right.
Now, for the 2 weeks in Bangkok, what have you learned?
Basically, I did a course in draping. So basically, draping is a technique whereby we make a pattern, 3-dimensional pattern on a mannequin instead of a 2-dimensional on paper. Yeah, so that is essentially what the course is about.
Now, first of all, let's talk about your famous infinity wedding gown. Tell us more about the concept.
Basically, I got the idea when so many brides that came to us, when I actually communicate, you know, with them during consultation, they actually do want something beyond, you know, beyond their wedding day. So sometimes they want
what
something.
What is beyond their wedding day? I
want
to know.
Yeah. So I mean, brides nowadays, you know, they don't want something that is very cookie cutter, you know, gown whereby you would just use it, you know, very pageantry. They want something that is representative of themselves. And they're also hoping that, you know, they can use a gown that is beyond, you know, their wedding day. So with that in mind, I was thinking that we could probably, you know, create a gown that you can probably detach them in pieces and so that, you know, you can actually use them individually and probably, you know, use part of your, you know, wedding dress perhaps in the future.
Oh, that's when you have like few pieces, you can wear it for different occasions.
That's right. Yep.
Now, besides that, I know you also create bespoke designs. You know, how different has it been, you know, from your usual design process?
I would say it's much more tedious and meticulous because I would say the heaviest bit of the whole process is during communication.
Right.
For me, consultation is very important. That is the thing that would steer it right or wrong, you know. And then you don't want to do something wrong, especially it involves, you know, someone's gown, you know, someone's
it's
wedding
a big
gown.
Day.
Yeah, it's
that's
a big
right.
day. Yeah, so that's the thing. So for me, I think we spend a lot of time talking, communicating, understanding, you know, my future bride.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's something new.
Since you're talking about about communicating with clients. Now, I want to know, what has been the most challenging or, you know, perhaps interesting or request, you know, from client you have encountered?
I would say every challenge is different. Most of the time, a lot of girls, they don't know what they want. Yeah, so that is the trickiest bit.
That's the usual problem women have.
Yep. So that, and of course, being fickle-minded, you know, they change. Of course, it's the most important day of their life, I understand. And then sometimes they just change from one idea to the other, and you want to do everything. So
overnight.
Yeah.
So what about the designs? Do you follow the latest trend, or do you just come up with whatever you feel like?
We definitely have to, you know, see what's in the market and what is the upcoming trend that, we have to be in the know. But what I like to do is always something that is for the bride. So that's why it's different for every bride. Mm. I wouldn't say I have a signature style, but I would say it's like a journey for both of us, you know, right. The bride and myself, whereby we discover each other, and it's a collaborative journey whereby we work together and create something that, you know, that would suit her, that would be something that she would love.
But when you mentioned follow trend, right, are we talking about following trends on high street?
Yes, yeah. So we always look at trends, you know, and then because we want to keep our clients informed, you know, because sometimes they don't know, and we want to tell them that this is what it would be nice. I would say throughout the years, bridal has been, you know, hasn't much changed, you know. Yeah. People are still going for a very conventional classic colours and looks. But what changes is the material, you know, and that sets it apart from, one another. And we also want to introduce those things during our consultation to see whether or not they are, you know, receptive over those things, or they are more conventional whereby they prefer something more classic.
Tell us more about the materials you've been using, you know, and where do you usually source them from?
I like to travel to source them. So you know that I came back from Bangkok. So most of the time I source from Bangkok. Mm-hmm. They have much more variety that we have. So Bangkok is somewhere where I'm very comfortable too. But I recently came back from Vietnam as well, just to see, you know, what they offer in their market. And different laces actually comes from, you know, different place. Like, you know, some of the laces comes from Bandung, some from Korea. So we try to get like their signature style from different countries.
And what inspires you for your bridal collection?
I would say for my collection, it would be actually the trend of the year. And like for last year, what we did was more of like a botanical trend. Yeah, so that is something that is very close to my heart instead of something that is very floral. So we want to do something that is just botanical, leafies, you know. So that was what we did last year. So every year is going to be different.
And this year would be?
I guess that would be next year. So we are done with this year. So in 2018, we're still looking very much at something that is a bit more, different range of botanical. Mm-hmm. So we want to range a way of like, we want to use non-floral laces, something more baroque, something that is, a bit unusual, I guess, for bridal.
Now, when it comes to wedding gowns, I hear most people prefer to customize their gowns rather than renting because, you know, it's like a taboo to rent a gown, you know, and not knowing if the previous person's marriage was successful or not. I mean, I hear this a lot. Now, what has the trend been like?
I would say more brides, they want to DIY their own weddings. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they would go for like, you know, individual vendors as such, you know, where they look for their own gown rather like the whole package, you know.
Yeah. And then you take like wedding photos. Yes. You have like 3 to 4 gowns.
That's right. Yeah. Down to 3 to 4 gowns and down to the man's suit. Yeah. So more brides nowadays, they want more flexibility in selecting their own vendors and details, you know, of their, you know, their individual vendors. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's where we come in, where we do customized gowns, where we can actually create something that's really herself. So not a lot of bride nowadays would like to go with the over-the-top gowns, you know, looking like a princess ball gown or whatnot. So they would like something that is more mobile, you know, something that represents themselves more than anything.
Do you rent wedding gowns as well?
We don't do it, you know. We don't advertise that we do it, but we do have like a collection of gowns that we have that don't belong to anybody that we can do rental on.
So no taboo, nothing.
No, exactly.
I mean, if I were to get married, I would have the same dilemma as other girls as well. Because if I were to customize my own wedding gown, okay, what happens next, you know, after the wedding? Where do I keep my wedding gown? You know, what am I going to do with it?
That's right. So a lot of brides actually has this in mind, and we do have this, what we call the design to rent.
Oh, what is it?
So basically, it's a full-fledged custom package whereby we still designed and customized, you know, as to your body shape, as to what you like, but you don't keep the gown.
Oh, so after that, we will return it back to you?
That's right, yep.
So what about pricing? So in that case, does that mean that we are renting or we...
It will be a little bit more expensive than rental, of course, because mm-hmm. we just can't make any change to any rented gown. So this one is sort of something in between whereby you still get to pick whatever you like, material, color,
designs.
Know, exactly. Okay. Yeah. And then, but you just don't keep it. So it would be somewhat in between a customized gown, a bespoke gown, as right. and a rental gown.
Now, even wedding gowns are available online. Famously, Taobao.
Yes.
They have everything on Taobao. I mean, would you even ever buy online? I mean, I think it's a very risky thing to do, right?
I agree, yeah. Because, I mean, we have been shopping for, I mean, clothes, right? I mean, that also can come, like, you know, it can be
it
wrong.
It can go wrong,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it's really risky. It's going to be a dress that, you know, that it's going to represent you on your, you know, biggest day. So mm-hmm. you don't want to go wrong and, you know, and you don't want to get something that is of an inferior quality and
that's right.
it really represents, yeah.
Now, apart from bridal collection, you also have your ready-to-wear. Okay, what about ready-to-wear? Are ready-to-wear still a big part of your business?
I would say it's still probably 50-50. Mm-hmm. We realize that there are a lot of clients as well that they need dresses, but, you know, they just don't have the time to customize one mm-hmm. or not. They don't have the budget too. So I guess this is somewhat in between whereby, you know, we have a reasonably priced, you know, ready-to-wear mm-hmm. garments, you know, available in our boutique. And if you need it, you know, by this weekend, you can actually get them off rack.
Mm-hmm. Can your customers still buy dresses and gowns online? On your
yes,
website?
Yes.
So it's still available?
That's right.
Now, how do you feel, you know, the bridal fashion business environment has been evolving, you know, in the last couple of years?
I would say it's still very challenging, especially for small business like us and for us who is doing customization. There are a lot of brides who are still looking for packages, you know, whereby, you know, you can supply them for at least three to four gowns. But we don't work that way. So yeah. we're trying to educate, you know, like why one gown is good enough, you know, rather than changing four gowns in a night, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I guess the challenge is still there. Mm. Not everyone would be happy with just one gown. It's really depending on, yeah. So we still try to educate our client on, yeah, why a custom-made gown, where, you know, where does it stand different, a custom-made gown compared to a ready-made gown. Yeah.
But I think it's a traditional, Chinese traditional wedding whereby you have your 2 to 3 different wedding
That's
gowns
right, yeah.
in a night that you have to change. It's a must. It's a must that you have to change.
So, but I think it's just a trend that is set by really bridal shops because, you know, the fact that they have a lot of gowns to start off with and then, you know, within a package, you can have so many and people will just go, okay, if I can have 3, why have 1, you know? Yeah, so they just forget. But the thing is, on our wedding day, we want to enjoy ourselves. We also want to mingle. We want to, you know, see our guests. So we don't want to do it like a fashion show whereby, you know, we spend all of our time just changing, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think, you know, it's your biggest edge, you know, that sets you apart from all your competitors?
I guess the fact that we can customize, and I would say our pricing point for a customized gown is really
reasonable,
very reasonable, I would say. And the fact that I would say I personally like to create for individuals. So I don't have like a personal, you know, a style that I would like you to, you know, to do. And we like to hear, you know, from our brides, you know, during our consultation or what kind of style they might like. And there's a lot of feedback we get from our bride to, you know, to be able to listen. Mm. Yeah, that's one thing. Yeah. So a lot of customization shop that they went to, they just felt like they can't portray anything of their own just because, you know, the designer has a mind of their own and just told them, say, no, you have to use this or whatnot.
Have you ever thought of breaking through the market and, you know, presenting your showcasing your designs on maybe perhaps KL Fashion Week?
Yeah, I guess for the past 1 or 2 years, we've been really building the foundation for a good production.
Mm-hmm.
That's, for me, is very important because everything for us, we make everything from scratch. A good production means, you know, a good upfront.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, you know, stabilize, I guess, you know, we can probably, you know, think about showcasing our work.
Now, aside from bridal wear, what have been the major additions, you know, to the other lines of designs at MC Couture?
Basically, we're steering towards, even the ready-to-wear, we are steering towards more of special occasion. So I guess you can find more like dresses, you know, suitable for as a wedding guest or maybe annual ball, annual dinners and such.
Now, on a personal note, I know your boyfriend then, now fiancé, Jin Yang, you know, proposed to you recently. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, on a note, so do you have a dream wedding gown in mind, you know, for yourself, for your own big day?
No, actually, I don't.
Oh, no.
I guess I want to do everything.
So what do you like? You like lace? You like puffy dresses? You like mermaid?
I want
cut?
To go like, I personally like clean. Mm. Clean silhouettes. Mm-hmm. Slick look. So I think we will try to do that, you know, nothing too lacy. We really have to see how it goes.
So now finally, where can our listeners find you if they would like to design their wedding gowns?
You can contact me, you know, find our website at www.mccouture.com or through our Instagram, mm-hmm. yeah, at mccouture.
After the break, Florence Song, senior fashion writer at Al Malaysia, schools us on the crisp, transitional white boot trend that's been reigning supreme this season. But before that, here's F for You by Disclosure, played at Arcris Spring Summer 2017 in Paris. This is Stylefile, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Stylefile. Next up, Florence Song, senior fashion writer at Elle Malaysia, thinks it's time to put away your little black boots and make a statement with white boots this season. Now, it seems like a crisp white boot is a welcome breath of fresh air in a season bogged down by the classic black boot. Now, give us a quick breakdown on the trend.
So white boots have actually been one of the biggest summer trends, I mean, that have carried on to the fall-winter season. I mean, you see celebrities like Gigi Hadid, Karlie Kloss, Selena Gomez, I mean, and almost every other street style star rocking a pair. So, I mean, they're just as versatile as your classic black ankle boots, but they're definitely more interesting. So, I mean, unlike the little black boot, which is so easy to match and mm-hmm. blend into your outfit, the little white boot is a statement maker. You wear it as the star of your outfit to punctuate the outfit because it's so bold, it's unexpected, and mm-hmm. it's also really eye-catching.
It's quite easy to match as well, right?
It is very easy to match, actually, because the colour is a clean slate, so you can go all out with your outfit, and it just clashes really well with, you know, like a really bold printed bright print or just like a really nice colour. Yeah.
We're talking about a knee-ankle white boot or a full white boot?
So there's a whole different, there's many different types of variations. There's those which are like those that cut right below the knee and those that cut at the ankle. But the ones that are really huge at the moment are actually the ankle boots.
Mm-hmm. Which is easier to match
yes,
as well.
Yes, which
right?
is easier to match and also more practical, especially for our weather here.
Now, what are the best runways you've seen so far?
So there are a couple of really good ones on the runway so far this season. One of them mm-hmm. is Ellery, who did this really interesting corduroy ones. And then there was Stella McCartney, who did this really square-toed, cowboy-esque booties. And then TB and Smart Max had some really cute kitten heel pairs as well.
Yes, I saw that. It's really, really cute.
Very tiny heels. I'm not sure how you walk in them, but they look really cute.
So how would you pair it?
So like I said, I mean, white boots provide such a clean, crisp slate that mm-hmm. One of my favourite ways to wear them is to clash them with bold colour or print. So I like wearing them with bold, bright printed dresses, like midi dresses or like a flowy skirt or graphic skirts. But on the opposite spectrum, they also look really good with full neutral looks mm-hmm. and straight cut jeans.
But when it comes to white boots mm-hmm. or black boots, we're in Malaysia. Yeah. It's a hot country, isn't it?
It is a hot country, but I think that, you know, it being comfortable would actually be one of the least of your concerns compared to actually taking care of the boots. I mean, white boots or white shoes and, you know, in general are a pain to maintain. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this huge fear that they'll be ruined on your first wear. I mean, you imagine the pain you would feel if you buy a designer pair and then you scuff them on your first wear or you walk into a puddle in them and stain them.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Now, where can I buy into this trend?
There are lots of white boots out in the market right now. Lots of great high street versions as well in Zara and Mango and H&M or mm-hmm. even online on ASOS.
So do you think most Malaysians would buy into white boots this season?
To be honest, I think it looks really good. It pairs really well with outfits, but I'd say invest in it only if you're willing to invest in the upkeep as well. So like mentioned, they get dirty really easily. So if you're willing to, you know, take care of it and make sure they're not dirty, then go for it.
So what kind of materials is best for white boots?
I really don't think there's any going around it with white boots. I mean, it's white, it tends to get dirty easily, but the nicest looking ones will actually be like patent or a nice leather one, just as long as you keep it clean, or I mean, you protect it with like a spray before you go out, like an anti-stain spray, and then you'll be good.
And that was this week's episode of Starfile. If you've missed any part of the show, catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my/starfile and give us some love on our Facebook page, Starfile on BFM 89.9. You can also listen to us on the go by downloading our BFM app on Google Play and the App Store. Now I'm going to leave you with a track. It's called Can't Get You Out of My Head by Kylie Minogue, played at Sakai Spring Summer 2017 in Paris. This has been Starfile, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Let's talk credit card debt for a minute. If you feel you're carrying too much of it, you're not alone. The average household in the U.S. carries over $8,000 in credit card debt. Ready for some good news? With a cash-out refinance from Quicken Loans, you can quickly and easily put some of the equity in your home to good use by paying off a lot of that high-interest credit card debt. A great way to take cash out is with our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.125%, APR 4.22%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN to learn how taking cash out with a 30-year fixed mortgage might be the right solution for you. And for a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rates subject to change. Pay 0.88% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.